Welcome to Headlines. You're listening to us on the Zev Brenner Network, 570 WMCA. Unfortunately, Reb David couldn't make it this week. I am your guest host, Rabbi Yitzchak Feldheim. You can download us at headlines.com or TorahAnytime.com. Our call-in number, 732-806-8700. This week, we've gathered a special group of mashkichim and lecturers to give over an Elul message, something to inspire us and bring a little hesiris. First, we'll begin with our host, Rabbi David Lichtenstein, with a special Elul message. Then we'll have Rabbi Elisha Sandler, a Talmud of Rav Hillel Zaks, the renowned grandson of the Chofetz Chaim, a Talmud of the Chevron Yeshiva, and the Slabodcha Musa Mahalach. Currently, he's the Mashkiach Ruchni at the Yeshiva Sichar Yoshev in Far Rockaway. He'll be followed by Rav Yaakov Trump, who is a noted lecturer and assistant rabbi in the Young Israel of Lawrence. He's a Talmud of Kerem B'Yavne, Ner Yisrael, in the YU Smicha program. Then we'll follow with Rav Shmuel Zucker, the Mechaber of the Sefer Oiris HaMoyadim and Aram in Yeshivas Imre Bino. He's an international mashpia, and all of his shiurim can be downloaded at ravzucker.com. I'll follow up and end off with my own words. Let's begin, enjoy, and then we should have a powerful Elul. He says, Vayar Hashem Kitoiv. He saw that it was Kitoiv. All the Maimorim, come on, all the Maimorim end off with the words of Hashem saying, and it was good. What's the 11th Maimor? After Hashem creates all the things and he finally creates Adam, then the 11th, what does Hashem say after Adam? After all of the creations and all the statements, each one ending off with a Vayar Hashem ki toiv, or even a toiv ma'id. The next mimer number 11, is loy toiv heyaisa adam levadai. It's not good for man to be alone. All of the 10 mamoris that were toiv, and the 11th one is loy toiv. Because 11, throughout our machshevas, you saw 11 is always not good. We know in the spices and the ketores, there were 10 good smelling spices, and the chelbana, the 11th spice is loy toiv. But together with the whole, it's good. 11 is loy toiv. The shayresh of the month, the 11th month, is loy toiv yos nuada. That's the pasuk behind chodesh av. The tishrei, it began. We don't start counting from Nisan until hachodesh zelochem, the left Mitzrayim. At this point, it's tishrei nivra oilam. We're starting from tishrei. The 11th month is chodesh av. The fault of chodesh av is sinas chinam, because the month of av is built on loy toiv yos adam levadai. What's the 12th month? What's the 12th Maimer? Hashem said it's not good for man to be alone. That separation of man, the isolation, is the shayrish of the lack of achdus, of the sin of chinam that leads to churban. But the 12th thing Hashem said, the shayrish of the final month of Oichodesh Elul, after Loi Toiv Yosam Levadai, Hashem says, Esa Loi Eza Kenegdoi. The cure for Loi Toiv Yosam Levadai is the Eza Kenegdoi. That's the shayrish of Chodesh Av, is built on the Maimer, the quote of Hashem, Esloi Eza Kenegdoi. That's the Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li. The union of people as opposed to the Loi Toiv Yosam Levadai. That's the shayrish of this month from the Maisa Bereshis. It begins forever. Chodesh Elul is built on the foundation of the words Esloi Eza Kenegdoi, the cure for Loi Toiv Yosam Levadai. Okay.
Just a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And what is the tefillah, what is the prayer most oft repeated during the entire Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And it is the 13 attributes of mercy, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which are all about forgiveness. And when you think of it, you know, there's a famous acronym, it's brought by many of them, you know, the Nisei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, that Elul, the month that we're in, stands for Ani L'Doidi, I am for my beloved, V'Doidi Li, and my beloved is for me. And it's understood really on two levels. One is between man and his creator. And additionally, it's also on the simplest level, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, is about our families, about the people we are close to, that Elul is a time of examining our relationships with those closest to us. Be it our spouse, be it our children, you know, sadly, there's a lot of acrimony. You know, a lot of people don't get along with their wives. I live in a small community. We have a little shul. There's not a lot of people, and you hear about a divorce almost every year or two. Think of the damage it does to the children and to the people themselves. And then people with their children. I was just yesterday on a plane, and a mother and a son sitting next to each other literally were arguing and came to blows. I saw the mother, this is with a boy who must have been in his high teens, hitting the son, and the son started like striking. And just look at it, and you say, you know, people, we have to learn how to get along better. That's what Ani L'Doidi. Let's examine our Ben Adam L'Chaverai. How are we with other people? And certainly those closest to us. You know, there's a Rashi in this week's Sedra, right? It says, Naki Yia Lebeso. So Rashi says, On the pasuk of Nakia, when somebody gets married, the first year he has to be true to his wife, and he shouldn't travel, etc. Make an extra effort to build the relationship. So it says Nakia lebeso v'simach es ishto. He should rejoice his wife. So there's different commentators. So Rashi, the great, you know, 12th century commentator, writes v'simach. He says rejoice. Not with your wife. He says there are two different ways. Not with your wife, but rather make your wife happy. He says, v'yechte ima. He says, it says, v'yechte yase. It's a make your wife happy rather than rejoice with your wife. And he says, somebody who believes it's only rejoice with your wife, einai ela toa. He's making a mistake. Now, I would like to metaphorically tell you an understanding of Rashi. There are two different ways to be happy in a relationship. One is, we are happy together, which sort of means it's a partnership, and you make me happy, I make you happy, and if that doesn't happen, if my wife and me were not happy anymore, then I guess it's over. That's one way to look at it. Like, you know, you owe me, I owe you. It's sort of like a merging of a balance sheet. Rashi says, Eina Ella Taya, if you understand this way. But what does it mean? Make your wife happy. To misquote JFK, ask not what your wife can do for you, but ask what can you do for your wife. In a relationship, if you can make the other person happy, ultimately it means that's a relationship. That, you know, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say an interesting story. He would say, the Gemara says that when was their joy by Klal Yisrael, when was their love? He says the generation where you would have six people who would cover themselves with one blanket. He says when there's love, six people can cover themselves with one blanket. So Reb Chaim asked, he said, how do six people cover themselves with one blanket? It's an impossibility. And Reb Chaim used to say, he said, if everybody wants to cover themselves, there's no way six people could be covered with one blanket. But if everybody wants to make sure that the other person is covered, then six people can be covered themselves with one blanket. And it's a good metaphor for this Rashi. Ask not what your wife can do for you, or your husband can do for you, your spouse can do for you, but ask what can I do for them. So, and Rashi says, if you learn the other way, Eina Ella Toa. So this month of Elul is about relationships, and it's particularly about forgiveness. And what does forgiveness mean? How I was hurt by you, and I forgive you. I want to go to Vinaki. I want to make with this all this hurt. I forgive you totally. I accept that you are human and you can make mistakes. I can go into it. You know, when two people go into a relationship and they date, and the wife, the girl is wearing makeup, and the boy is wearing his best suit with his new tie, and everybody's on their best. That's wonderful to meet. But really, there has to be an understanding is that you're human and you're going to have a side of you that's probably pretty ugly. We all do. Now, why is forgiveness so essential? You know, I'm a builder by trade now. I build buildings. That's how I earn a living. I remember sitting with a contractor. We were putting up a 13 or a 14 story building in New York City. You need to use that. You don't use 2x4s anymore. You use like these metal studs. And I'm looking at the metal stud, and I asked the contractor. I say to him, "How many pounds can this carry?" So he looks at it. He says, "It's rated for 1,400 pounds." And then he says to him, 1,400 pounds. The concrete on this is going to weigh 1,000 tons. How does it carry? I mean, how does this carry the weight? The contractor looks at me and he says, "You know, each stud can only carry 1,300 pounds. But when they're trussed together, which means they're part of a structure, there's a top, there's a bottom, there's lattice work," he says, "suddenly, something that can only carry 1,300 pounds can carry 1,000 times that weight. Because structurally, they offset the weight, they support each other. When a 2x4 is in a building, in a house, it can carry 1,000 times the weight that it could individually." You know, the Torah, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, first mitzvah is the mitzvah of, and I'm not talking about the Beis Din, because everybody knows a Chodesh Zolachem is given to Beis Din, the first moon, is the concept of the family meal. The Yikhu Lachem Ish, every man should take, Sela Beis Avos, a sheep for his house, Sela Bayis, for his family house. When, as individuals, we are very vulnerable. Put us in a family structure with a support group. Anything is possible. Any setback, any fall, if we have a structure, supporters, you can do it, that when we fall down, they help us up. And when they fall down, we pick them up. Anything is possible. We become like that 2x4 that's carrying 1,000 pounds its weight. So forgiveness, anila daidi v'daidi li, goes to the essence of recreation on Rosh Hashanah. If we forgive and rejoin our family structure and we support each other, v'semach es ishto, we can do anything. Next week, our guest will be the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, Reb Nissen Kaplan. He will be speaking about Shalom Bayis. What can you do? What isurim or what mitzvahs can you do to keep Shalom Bayis? Can you miss davening? What is it? What goes in? What sacrifices do we make for Shalom Bayis halachically? He'll also be speaking about going to the hotels for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, etc. It should be fascinating. He's a fascinating individual. He has thousands and thousands of students here in America of Talmidim. It's an honor. It's the first time he'll be on the radio here in America. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. This is Headlines Radio, David Lichtenstein.
I wanted to thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to share some Divrei Torah, some Divrei Chizuk, as we enter the month of Elul, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. The Kadmonim refer to Elul as Yemei HaRachamim B'Haslichas, and Eis Ratzon. I'd like to just try to focus on how we could best utilize these Yemei Rachamim, this Eis Ratzon. How we could tap into the school of Sazman and how we could take use it to its fullest potential. I'd like to begin with a kasha. There's a minig Yisrael to blow shofar throughout Chodesh Elul. The Rishonim bring that the minig was to blow it in the morning and in the evening. Our minig is to blow it every morning after davening. And many reasons are given for the tkiya shofar throughout Chodesh Elul. The Torah at the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah explains it as follows. The Torah brings down a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Mem Vav. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer explains that this is based on a historic event. The historic event was when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai for the third time to be Mekabel the second set of Luchas. The history was, we know Moshe Rabbeinu went up the day after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Luchas. He comes down 40 days later, and Klal Yisrael had made the Egel Hazav. What was the mistake? They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come down 40 days later, but they miscalculated the 40 days. they understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come down on the 40th day, including the day that he went up, when in truth they were supposed to begin calculating the 40 days, beginning with the following day, being that every calendar day begins with the night before and then includes the next day. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second set of luchos, Klal Yisrael wanted to make sure that they wouldn't make the same mistake again. So on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, which happened to have been Rosh Chodesh Elul, Klal Yisrael blew the shofar. They sounded a shofar, so that, according to Chazal, so that they would not make a toast again and end up being Oved Avodah Zarah. That Tkiya Shofar was a precaution that they took to remind themselves, we're not including today. Today is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up. We're going to begin to calculate the 40 days starting tonight. Says the Torah, in order to commemorate that Tkiya Shofar that they blew on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, that's why we blow Shofar every single year on Rosh Chodesh Elul and throughout Chodesh Elul. And here we need to ask ourselves a number of questions. First of all, what was so significant about that action of blowing the shofar that for all future generations, year after year after year after year, for thousands of years, we're blowing shofar to commemorate that event? Second of all, then they only blew shofar on one day. They blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh so that they would remember not to include that day. Why does the Torah then say that the reason we blow shofar throughout Chodesh Elul is in order to commemorate that shofar? If we're just commemorating that event that took place, we should only blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, not throughout the entire Chodesh as well. Interestingly, the Rosh at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah also brings down this Pirkei DeRabbi Eliezer, and the Rosh's girsa in the Pirkei DeRabbi Eliezer is that this is the reason that we blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So there's a reason for blowing shofar on Rosh Chodesh, and then there's another reason, other reasons given for blowing shofar throughout the Chodesh. But that's not the way the Torah learns. The Torah says, Lachain, this is the reason, because of that event, this is the reason that we blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh and throughout Chodesh Elul. Third question is, and I think that this is really the most powerful out of the questions, and this is going to bring us to the Yesod. In Siman Kuf Lamed Dalet, in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, we learn the halachas of Tachnun and the halachas of Hagba. The title of the Siman is Seder V'hurachum V'hagba Satara. We know that although we say Tachnun every day of the week, other than Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, there's a specific type of a Simcha, but on Monday and Thursday there's a longer Tachnun. Why is there a longer Tachnun on Monday and Thursday? So the Rama brings down Umasha Noyagim Laharbus Betachnunim Besheni Ubachamishi. The reason we have a minhag to say extra Tachnun on Monday and Thursday, Mishum Shehem Yemei Ratzon. Because Monday and Thursday, more than any other day of the week, are Yemei Ratzon. Now, why are they Yemei Ratzon? Says the Mishnah Brura, quoting the Paiskim, because the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the second set of luchas began on a Thursday and ended on a Monday. Moshe Rabbeinu went up, Rosh Chodesh Elul that year was a Thursday. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on a Thursday and he came down with a second set of luchas on a Monday. Therefore, those days of Thursday and Monday showed the Ribbono Shel Olam's ratzon to Klal Yisrael that even after we fell, and even after we made an egel, and even after we violated the bris of Matan Torah, even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to be appeased, and he gave us these Yemei Ratzon, beginning on a Thursday and ending on a Monday. So here's the kasha, and I think this is a very, very powerful question. If Moshe Rabbeinu went up on a Thursday and came down on a Monday, how many days is that? If he went up on a Thursday, the following Thursday was 8 days later, if we do not include the day that he went up. If we do not include the day that he went up, the following Thursday is 7 days later. The following Thursday after that is 14 days later. The Thursday after that is 21. After that is 28. After that is 35. Friday would be day 36. Shabbos would be 37. Sunday would be 38. And Monday, the day that he came down, is day 39. Now we know Rashi tells us, and Chumash Chazal tell us, that most of the Pesukim tell us, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days to get Luchas Shniyas. Now, we just made the cheshbon that if he went up on a Thursday and came down on a Monday, and we do not include the day that he went up, then he was only up for 39 days and not for 40 days. If it was only 39 days and not 40 days, how does that equal the 40? It must be that we're including the day that Moshe went up. In other words, the calculation of the 40 days begins on the day that he went up and culminates on the day that he came down. If so, the whole purpose of the Tkiyas Shofar seems to have been redundant in retrospect. What was the whole reason for blowing the shofar? So that they would remember not to include the day that he went up in their calculation of 40 days. But as we've demonstrated, the second time that he went up, the 40 days include the day that he went up, not excluding the day that he went up. Turns out that the Tkiyas Shofar in retrospect was for naught, because they wouldn't have made the mistake anyway, being that he came down on the 40th day, including the day that he went up. The answer to this question would appear to be that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yud Tishrei, which was the 40th day, including the day that he went up, was not despite the fact that it was the 40th day, including the day that he went up. It wasn't despite the fact that they blew Tkiyas Shofar on the day that he went up. It was because they blew that shofar. What do I mean to say? Since Klal Yisrael from their end took the necessary precaution and blew a shofar to ensure that they would not fall a second time, that they would not make a mistake that could lead to Avodah Zarah, they did what they could. They blew that shofar to make a point that today we're not including today in the count. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his end says, you know what, I'm also going to do something to ensure that you're not going to make this mistake again. We did something from our end. Adam mekadesh atzmai milamata, mekadeshim oisam milamayla. If we make the effort from our end to ensure that it remains, to ensure that our pure state remains, that we're right to be mekabel the Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put something in place as well, that even if we forget the Kabbalah that we made, we won't end up making that mistake again. It wasn't despite the fact that there was the Tkiyas Shofar. It was because of the Tkiyas Shofar that this time Moshe Rabbeinu came down on the 40th day, including the day that he went up. The Kadmonim tell us that Elul is a Rashi Tevis, is an acronym for the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Elul is Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. Ani L'Doidi, when I do something to show my commitment to Doidi, to ensure that my relationship with Doidi doesn't falter, Doidi Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his end, does the same thing for me as well. The Avodah of Chodesh Elul, the reason that we blow Shofar throughout Chodesh Elul is not just to remember the event that took place. It's not a mere commemoration that since it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're commemorating an event that happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul. But throughout Chodesh Elul, we blow the shofar to remind us what happens when a Yid makes a Kabbalah, when a Yid does something to ensure that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains steadfast. When a Yid does even a small move, the blowing of a shofar, to try to keep something in place, Doidi Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind. This is the avodah, this is the idea of the Yemei HaRachamim, Ba'aslichas, the Yemei HaRatzon, that symbolize what Chodesh Elul is about, the Eis Ratzon of Chodesh Elul. It's a time that we make small moves, we make small Kabbalahs, we move ourselves just a little more from where we were. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mirrors that, Hashem Tzolcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mirrors that and helps us that even if we forget the Kabbalahs that we made, if we make them sincerely in Chodesh Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it from his end as well to make sure that they remain. I'd like to wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima taiva, a good kibbutz teyar, b'sifran shel tzadikim, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant you all of the wonderful things that you daven for, all the things that you yearn for, and most importantly, that the kesher that you establish with them through sincere Kabbalahs be a kesher shel kayama. Thank you.
Shalom Aleichem, good Rosh Chodesh, Elul. As we enter Elul and we move 40 days towards the apex, towards our Yom Kippur, let's start the work now. There was once a story with two men who were walking along the road. And as they're walking along, they notice that in the bushes on the side of the road, just far ahead of them on the left, there's a little rustling. They look into it, and the one fellow says to his friend, you know, did you see that cat that's scampered into the bushes? The man to his left says, no, it was definitely not a cat. That was most certainly a bird. No, I know what I saw. It was definitely a cat, a bird, a cat, a cat, bird, bird. And he said, you know what? I'll put money on it. I'll put $5 on it that was a cat. The one says, I'll put $10 on it that it was a bird. Okay, so they take a stone, they throw it into the bushes, and out flies a gray shape. The fellow who represented the bird side looked at his friend knowingly, said, you can make it out to cash. And the man responds, well, you know, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I would never have believed that I could see a cat fly. This story digs deep. But let's start, before we appreciate it, let's start actually with the parasha that begins Elul this year, Parashas Re'eh. There is a fascinating halacha which appears in this week's parasha, which is the halacha of Lo Sa'asun Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem. Don't do such to Hashem your God. What is the such that we are expected to refrain from? Torah tells us, Lo Sa'asun Kein, don't remove, don't destroy the names or the places of worship of your Hashem like you're expected to do of the nations of the Canaan when you enter the land. Very interesting halacha. The Rambam asks a practical question. When codifying this halacha, the first thing the Rambam tells us is that there are seven names of Hashem that cannot be erased. There are seven names which have this prohibition of erasing the name of God. But the Rambam continues to ask a very simple question, and that is, what about prefixes and suffixes? What about the beginnings and ends of the name of Hashem? So for instance, let's say you have the name of Hashem and it says La Hashem, Ba Hashem, those prefixes, those extra letters at the beginning. Or let's say the word Elokeichem, Hashem your God, Elokecha, Elokai. What about the ending, the suffixes of the name of Hashem? Do they fall under the same rubric? Are we also expected to refrain from erasing those names as well? So Rambam tells us a very interesting rule, and that is that the prefixes do not constitute part of the name of Hashem. If you have the letters Beis, Lamed in front of the name of Hashem, those can be erased in a Sefer Torah. However, a suffix, the Chof Safis, the Chof Mem, at the end of the name of Hashem, in fact is integral to the name and cannot be erased. Very fascinating halacha, and the Rambam derives it in the way that he does. What is relevant to us is the thought process behind this. Let's dig this a little deeper. Interestingly enough, we would say a pasuk every time we bring out the Sefer Torah, a pasuk which appears in Parashas Vayeschanan just a few short weeks ago, and that goes as follows. Va'atem ha-devekim va'ashem elokeichem chayim kolchem hayom. You who cleave to Hashem, your God, are alive today. V'atem ha-devekim v'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kolchem hayom. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh, Rachaim ben Atar, says a remarkable insight on this pasuk. The Or HaChaim says, let's consider what the Rambam said. The suffix of a word of the name of Hashem is integral to the name of Hashem, and the prefix is not. We are expected to become Dveikim, to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live the life that He'd expect of us, to cleave to His presence in this world and the next. How do we do that? Says Or HaChaim, look no further than this pasuk. Vatem Dveikim Ba'Hashem. You should cleave to Hashem, but it's not sufficient to cleave to the name of Hashem as a prefix, Ba'Hashem, in order to really get there. To get to Dveikus, to get to a real sense of closeness with the Almighty, one needs to actually add on the second name of Hashem, which is Elokeichem, where the addition, where the us is a suffix. Elokeichem, integral, cannot be erased, part of the same whole as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think this Or HaChaim actually raises an interesting question in our lives. as we enter this Elul, as we move our way towards Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Simchat Torah, Yom Kippur, we have to ask ourselves the same question. Are we prefixes or suffixes when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does Hashem fall into place in our lives after we've got what we need from our lives? Or do we fall in the wake? Do we fall behind and follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because the difference may not seem very important, but it makes a whole big difference when it comes to cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in Halacha and in Achshava. You know, the Kotzker Rebbe was once asked, as a young man, somebody said to him, Yingele, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is Hashem? In those days, it was the days before Uncle Moshe came out with his hit, and the Kotzker Rebbe said, in a very profound way, He is wherever you let Him in. He is wherever you let Him in. How many times in our lives does HaKadosh Baruch Hu fall into our lives only in the places that we allow Him in? How long does it take us to say a bracha? From the moment of time it takes for us to raise the food to our mouths. Hashem sort of fits into the lifestyle that we've prearranged for ourselves. But that kind of dveikus is not integral. That kind of dveikus is not part and parcel of the package of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we really let Hashem into our lives? You know, they tell the story about a fellow who's driving around in the city and is looking for a parking spot, and he's late for a meeting already, and it's a very important meeting, and he is begging, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Hashem, you know, please, if you just help me arrange for a parking spot just this one time, it matters so much to me, I'll become a better Jew, I'll get up for Shachris, I'll make more Kviyas Itim for Torah, I'll change my life for the better. And as he's speaking, you know, Oid Hei Medabrim, as he's speaking, Vanochi Eshma, Hashem listens, a parking spot opens right in front of him, and he turns to Hashem and he says, no, don't worry, God, forget the deal, I've got a spot right now, thank you so much. How many times is Hashem a suffix in our lives? We're the prefix. And how many times do we allow Him in? Do we allow Him to lead the way, Him to set the tone, for our passions to follow His passions? Our avoda this Elul, the question that we need to be asking ourselves as we move towards Rosh Hashanah is, are we prepared to let Hashem in? Or are we going to keep seeing flying cats in our lives? Are we going to keep explaining away the providence that Hashem showers upon us on a day-to-day basis? Or are we going to open that door and allow Him to come in and follow Him? May it be an inspired journey of growth, all of us, Lech Lecha, as we move back towards ourselves with Hashem in the forefront. Wishing us all chizuk on that journey.
Parshas Re'e. The parsha we begins, Re'e Anuchi Noisim Afnech Mayim Brocha Uklala. And the pasuk continues, Es HaBrocha Asher Tishmo. In other words, a person is going to be zocha to bracha asher. It should really say im tishmon, if. The pasuk says asher, that you will adhere the mitzvah of Hashem. Continues the pasuk of haklala im le tishmon. So by the klala it says that if you do not keep Torah mitzvahs in this klala. But by bracha, it doesn't say if. By bracha it says asher. Why? So this teaches us a concept, a beautiful concept for a person preparing himself in the month of Elul for Rosh Hashanah. Parashas Re'eh is the first week of Elul, either Shabbos Mevorchim or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It's the first preparation for Chodesh Elul that prepares us for Rosh Hashanah. What's the message over here? The message over here is that a person has to know that the good that he does, that the Torah mitzvahs that he does, is that is him. That is him be'etzem. Es habrochos asher tishmon, that he will adhere the mitzvahs. This is who he is. Haklala im leisishmo. If he doesn't, that's not him. A person is be'etzem the bracha. The Jewish nation is a blessed nation. Because the Jewish nation, every single Jew in himself, be'etzem, wants to keep the mitzvahs and has it in to keep the mitzvahs, and that is really his, who he really is. The klalas, or the averas, or any sin that a person may commit, chas v'shalom, that's not really him himself. And this is what we learn from Adam HaRishon. There's a fascinating word in the Torah, straight after the sin of Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them, and Hashem said, Ayeka, where are you? What type of question is it, where are you? Hashem sees everything. You cannot hide from Hashem. So what does it mean? What does it mean when Hashem says Ayeka? So the answer is, Ayeka is, where are you? The fact that you committed the sin, that's not you. Even after committing the sin, it's not you, Bechlal. Where are you? Where is the etzem you? In other words, the neshama, the spirituality, which is the essence, the very makeup of the person. And that's what Hashem was asking Adam Rishon. Where are you? Because Adam Rishon, every single Jew, is a pure, pure, pure creation. And therefore, the mitzvah of tshuva, which appears in Parashas Nitzavim, the pasuk there says, Ki a mitzvah hazois, that the Rishonim learn refers to mitzvah tshuva, Ramban, refers to mitzvah tshuva. The pasuk there says, Loi b'shamayim hi. It's not in Shemaim, Lema mi ala ha-shamayim. We have to go to Shemaim to take it. The Loi me'eber elayom hi. And it's not beyond the seas. You'd have to travel on across the ocean for mitzvah tshuva. Ki kore ve'lecha ha'dova ma'oid. It's so close to you. So where is it? The answer is, it's in you, it's in us, it's in every person, the person himself. The mitzvah of tshuva is the person himself. When a person returns, he's returning to himself. He's becoming the person who he is in essence. And this is a tremendous chizuk for us. A person at the end of the year feels that he's done so many averas. And he comes to the month of El and he wants to repent, he wants to do tshuva, but he feels he's done so many averas. He's gone so far. Where should he start? And that's why the first parasha of Elul is always Parashas Re'eh. That begins, as Habrocha Asher, all the mitzvahs that you've done this year, this is you. All the averas that you've done is not you. But HaKlala Im Leishishmu. It's not Asher, it's not you. And that's why on Yom Kippur, there's an avodah of the Soil Hashem and the Soil Avodah. And it's incredible avodah. The Medrash Rabbah brings down, in Bereishis, in Parashas Vayishlach, the Medrash Rabbah says that on Yom Kippur, the avoda of the soil Hashem and soil Azazel says the measure of the soil Azazel refers to Esau. And we take all the sins off ourselves and we put it on Esau and we throw him off the cliff. Why? That's not fair. But the answer is yes, because the sins never cling to, never stuck properly to Klal Yisrael. A Jew doesn't really sin. If he sins, it's because he was under bad influence, evil influence from the environment around him, which is the klipa, which is the Yetzahara of Esau. And therefore the sins don't really stick and cling to us. They go back to where they came from. And we go back to where we came from. And that's why we blow shofar throughout the month of Elul. Because the shofar blowing, shofar means go back to your origins, go back to your roots. That's why one blows shofar during Yovel. Yovel is where the fields go back to their roots, where a slave goes back to his roots. The shofar always returns everybody back to their roots. As in the pasuk, V'hoya b'yem ahu, Yitoka b'shofar gadol, the shofar brings the person back to its roots. The month of El is where we have to go back to our roots. And what are our roots? Our roots are keeping mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, Yerushalayim. Anything else that we did during the year wasn't us, isn't us. And therefore a person mustn't feel bad. A person chas v'shalom mustn't fall into any level of yeyosh, thinking, where should I start? Where should I begin doing tshuva? I've done so many averas during my life. The person mustn't think of that b'chlal. Because any avera that he might have committed is not him. He didn't do that avera. It's just something that clings to him. It's something that he can easily rid himself from because it wasn't really him and it didn't cling and stick to his sherish and neshama. Rosh Hashanah is the day where Adam Rishon was created. Adam Rishon was created pure. And therefore we go back to the Adam Rishon before the chet. And that's a tremendous chizuk for us. And this is generally a chizuk for a person, that we have to know where we come from. We have to know what our roots are, what our origins are. When we think of it, that our roots and our origins, we come from Ovis HaKadoshim, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. We have such yichus that all the averas, a person even prior to committing an avera, a person must make the cheshbon nefesh. How can I do this? This is not me, Bechlal. This is somebody else. This is strange to me. This is alien to me. This is not me. And that is the best shmira, the best weapon and ammunition against committing an avera, where we realize where we come from, where we realize that we come from, every Yid has an Hashama, which is a Chelek, a Lekai Mimal. And when we think of that, then we'll think that all these Averas and all that the Yitzhar tries to incite us to do has nothing to do with us. And it's not our business, and it has no connection to us, and we don't intrinsically relate to it, B'chlal. And that's Chus, we should all be Zorcham et Hashem, to Hashanah Toiva Mesukah, and to Ksiva V'chsim et Toiva. Kol Tov.
Shalom Aleichem. This is Yitzchak Feldheim, and I'm going to end the program with a few ideas about Elul. Anyone who spends any time in a yeshiva has heard over and over again, Uru, Uru, Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. Wake up from your slumber, wake up. Elul is the idea of Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. We heard Mashkichim, Elul, Elul. These are the words of Chodesh Elul, the beginning of any year in the yeshiva. But there's another idea of Elul that we're hearing it even more of. You don't have to be in yeshiva to be confronted constantly with the words Ani ledoidi vedoidi li, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. The two refrains of Chodesh Elul, I am to my beloved is to me, and Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. It's very strange though to try and reconcile these two ideas. They sound very, very distinct. To have a month with two such varied midos and strengths and traits, it needs a hesber. How do we explain the idea? One would take normally the idea of Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem to wake up. It's a, this is the avoid of bin Adam La'atzmai, to become what we're supposed to become, to come out of the complacency and the apathy of life, of summer, and to crank it up, to ramp it up for Elul. That's Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. But Ani L'doidi V'doidi sounds like a different shmooze. It's a bein Adam L'chaveiro talk. It's a talk about love and Ava and Achva. It's Achdos. It sounds like a continuation of the themes that we began with Chorben. Sinas Chinam, oh, Lashon Hara, and Tubav, you know, union and oneness and Achdos. What is the Avodah? What is the purpose and the role in the calendar of the month of Elul? Is it a personal Avodah, Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem, that I should wake up, become all that I could be? Or is it an Achdos thing, a Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, approach? What we need to clarify over here are the two traits of Chodesh Elul, the two phrases of Chodesh Elul, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, and Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. Is it the personal growth of waking up and conquering yourself, or is it the national or social, the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro month of relationships and oneness? So the emes is, I found the beautiful place where both of them are linked. The place where we most find this theme of Doidi is every Friday night in the song by Shlomo Alkavetz. Shlomo Alkavetz, we say L'chadoidi L'kras Kalo P'nei Shabbos Nekablo. An entire shira, an entire song every Friday night built on the theme of the relationship of Doidim. But in the hallmark of L'chadoidi is the phrase Is'ayri, Uri, Uri, Shir Daberi, Kavod Hashem Alayich Nigla. The same song that deals with Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li and the relationship of going to a chuppah to see the Kala also speaks about the midah of Uri, Uri, Is'ayri, Is'ayri, the idea of waking up and being inspired. So what the connection exists, I wanted to put a finger on what this connection is, and maybe we'll get an insight into what a very deep idea into what is the power and the purpose of Chodesh Elul. I recently spoke, I was Masad the Kedushin for a Talmud of mine, and there was a less religious crowd, and they had me speak under the chuppah to make it understandable for people. And I asked the following question about the chuppah. I told everyone, listen, we're all gathered here. We know that normally the Jewish people are a very private people. One of the hallmarks of our people is our tznius, batznei aleches, a certain kind of refined conduct. And yet when it comes to a chuppah, the most vulnerable moment, the most real moment, all of a sudden then we put the chosn kala on the stage. We open up all the four walls, and they're open to every side. And not only that, but they don't face away from us. They face the tzibur, and everyone looks into the face of the chosn kala at their most vulnerable moment. They're davening, they're crying, they're shuckling, and we're all sitting there for 45 minutes staring them in the face. How does that jive with the normal idea that the midas of Klal Yisrael, you know, that we were private and we're still, Hatznei Aleches, and the prat in this moment of vulnerability? We know that Bilam saw the beauty of Klal Yisrael, that all of their tents, the openings didn't face each other. That was the distinct beauty that he perceived in Klal Yisrael, was our tendency to privacy. And yet here, over here, when it comes to the chuppah, we open it up to the world. And I think the answer is extremely powerful. Is that when all of us were young, children grow up with a confidence and an innocence. The first person up in any house are the young children. We call it eyes wide open. They take the world, they jump, they run, they take everything by the horns, they live, they throw themselves into things, innocent. They haven't experienced failure and rejection and shame, so they go through life with a confidence and an innocence. But then there's a point in the child's life where everything changes. One moment, the parents were telling the kid, "Shah, you have to be quiet. Mommy and Tati are trying to sleep. Just because you're up doesn't mean everybody else has to wake up." And then there's one day where it switches. The kid's a teenager or whatever he is, and now the parents have to knock on his door. "Shachris, come on, get up, get up. You're waking up. It's time for Shachris." One day we're locking the doors to keep the kids away so we can get a few minutes of sleep, and then the next day they're locking their doors, and we're struggling to get them out of bed. What is that moment of transition? What changes? When do we move away from the eyes wide open and the confidence and the taking on the world, and we start to curl up into a little ball, and we push snooze buttons, and we pull covers over our head? This is the world we live in. We all began with dreams, and then slowly the world chips away at them, and different things that happen take away our confidence, our innocence, and we start to run away from life. What is the cure? What is the secret of this? How do we address the fear that causes us to run away from our own existence? And for this, we come to a chuppah. It's a gift that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us. Two people who also went through their stuff, who also have their shivrei kelim, who definitely no one survives life without tzaras. But they're taking a chance, and they're full of kivui and hope, and they're being vulnerable, and they're willing to walk down a chuppah and commit to each other and to re-embrace everything they wanted when they were shalim. And here they are now grown-ups walking down the chuppah, committing to each other. We invite everyone to the chuppah. We open up the chuppah to the world because everyone needs to see the chasen kala. The chuppah is not for the chasen kala. The chuppah is for all of us to be nisoirer, to see in their eyes the optimism and the hope and the willingness to jump and to retake my dreams, to build a bayisheni, to take a luchay shniyos, to take all the pieces and put it together, and once again, not to make excuses and not to make fun of all the dreams we had and call it la-la land and childish dreams, but to say they're real. This is what I wanted. This is who I am. And we're willing to take a chance. We go to a chuppah to become this ayur. Uru yishenim mishinafchem. The need of Chodesh Elul. How do we wake up? What is the waking up of Chodesh Elul? The waking up of Chodesh Elul is exactly this nekuda. It's ani v'doidi v'doidi li. It's the chuppah is the thing that inspires us. When we think of the chuppah and you think of... It's not a musa shmuza halacha of the haftal reicha kamaicha. It's not telling us what we should do. It's looking at the idea of ani l'doidi l'li, an idea of commitment and vulnerability and throwing in your lot together and committing through thick and thin and to build a home and to build a life together. When you see people willing to do that, then it awakens in us that I too have dreams. I too wanted to do these things. When we say, Kaladam nichve mechuposei shel chaveroi, a man gets burned, feels the fire from his friend's chuppah. The Ramchal says, don't think that that's kinna, it's not jealousy. It's this iris that lights the fire in you. You see someone else embracing their own fire, rekindling their fire, stepping forward from their ashes, so that lights a fire in us. I too can recover from my ashes. I too can build. Chodesh Elul follows on the month of Churban. Because the cure for Churban is ani l'doidi v'doidi li, the place where people are willing to venture once again into a world of hope and beauty. We stell on Chodesh Elul on ani l'doidi v'doidi li. But the goal is not the ben adam l'chaveroi of it. It's this iris that it will do for me. We see in Gan Eden Mikedem, by the first Shidduch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam and Chava one mitzvah. What was the mitzvah that Hashem gave Adam and Chava? He told them, don't eat from the tree. How did the Rebbeinu Shalom expect that the entire world should become a shalem, to achieve perfection by one mitzvah that's a loisase? Hashem didn't tell him to do anything. He said, just don't eat from the tree. The entire purpose of mankind was to avoid something, was sur meira. How does the avodah, how does the job of sur meira accomplish a binyan? How does it create shlemus by turning away from something? And the answer is a beautiful answer. That sur meira can't create shlemus. It's true. But if sur meira will result in shlemus, what it means is that it must be that everything already is perfect. The shlemus exists. Hashem created a world of beauty. There's a symphony, and everything has its role. And the world is singing a song of Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every part of the symphony feels the joy of being part of that yofi and part of that magic and that wonder. The only thing Hashem says is don't destroy it. Don't hide. Don't put down your instrument. I know you're going to have tzaras. I know the world is difficult. I know there are setbacks. But chas v'sholem, don't run away. Eat from the Yitzchayim. Don't run away to the other tree. You don't need to hide. But unfortunately, we live in a world where everyone's hiding. And we're all shivrei luchais. The lesson that we need to hear is the lesson of Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li, of people who still have dreams and still have a fire that they're willing to shine. And if we embrace Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li, and we all go L'chadoidi L'kras Kala, then we'll be Zaycha to Mikdash Melech Yir Melucha, the Mikdash, the true Makam Kadosh, the Heichal, Mikdash Melech Yir Melucha, Kumi Tzimi Teicha Feicha, it'll come out of its darkness, it'll come out of the ashes. Kumi Tzimi Teicha, Rav Loch Sheves Meimek HaBocha, everyone, we spend enough time in the Eimek HaBocha, Rav Loch Sheves Meimek HaBocha, Buhu Yachmel Ayachem Lo, L'chadoidi Likras Kala. We should all come out of our own darknesses. We should embrace the life, the light, the or. We should have the geula. Uru yishein mishinaschem. Life is short, but life is beautiful. It's a shod to spend it in the kabocha. Embrace it with the confidence and the innocence and the purity of those who embrace ani l'doidi v'doidi li. The innocence of a chosin and kala should light up our own fires. We should have a stark el. All right, Rabbi, with the speakers, I'll start off with a short little thought, an original idea on what Chodesh Elul is. The Sforim tell us that the entire world was created al pi asar ma'amoris. When Hashem creates the world 10 times, he says, Yihyar, Yihirakia, Yihi Hashem, 10 statements Hashem creates the entire world. And every single thing in our world has its shroshim in one of the 10 ma'amoris. So the question is when you have things in the world that are divided into categories more than 10, categories of 12, so where do you have the shroshim of those 12 things? And I had a very interesting idea, that the truth is, in the Kriyas Olam, there were more than 10 mamaris. There really were 12 mamaris. And maybe the final 2 mamaris will be parallel to the final 2 months. The 10 mamaris, every time Hashem says afterwards,